This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, I am so happy to welcome to the studio today Karen Dudson. I pronounced it right?
Didson, but that's
Didson.
Okay.
Didson.
That's
okay. Didson, Dudson. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Didson. Okay. Well, Karen is from Barnes & Noble, and she has, like, just one of the most fantastic jobs. She gets to be around books all the time, and she gets to tell people about all the events at Barnes & Noble, which are so fantastic.
Thank you.
I was telling her before we started the program that some of my listeners, some of you out there, went to that fantastic Harry Potter event that they had there. And I was not up to braving the crowds, but there were hundreds of people
dressed in costume. It was our holiday, magical holiday ball and our Harry Potter holiday event. And it was wonderful. People came in costume. They made Harry Potter ornaments. We made golden snitches and snowflakes. I didn't tell you about that. Snowflakes cut out in the different houses, representing the different houses. And people love that. And we had waltzes. We taught the waltz.
Oh, so wow. Is that beautiful?
Actual dancing and music, and it was taught by two professional ballet dancers from the area, and I think everybody had a great, great time.
Well, it is wonderful to see the enthusiasm, and as a matter of fact, I mentioned to you that my guest on Tuesday was K.D. Price, a young author who has just jumped that high wall, passed the query letter, and she is now being reviewed by several agents, big time New York agents, and it is just fantastic that she was inspired to write from the days when she was a little girl and started going to the Harry Potter events at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, I know. And just, you know, to jump in about the holiday season, one book that we're selling a lot of right now is very similar to the fantasy adventure of the Harry Potter series, and it's called The Wishing Well, and it's by Chris Colfer. He is an actor in the TV show Glee, and he wrote this book series that's just taking off. So when people come in and they say, well, I've read Harry Potter, I've read The Adventures of Narnia, you know, what else do you have? We've been recommending this, and we've sold like hundreds of copies of this book. So if you have a young reader out there, this is, and it's in paperback. It's $9.99. I mean, the price point's great. It's a great, it's like a fairy tale-ish story, a take on the fairy tales.
Okay, what is the name again?
The Wishing Well by Chris Colfer.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, so that's one of the most popular young reader books. Yeah.
Oh, that's you know, this is just a wonderful time of the year for books, because I cannot think of a better gift to give. It is a lasting gift in so many ways. They read it, it goes into their mind, and it's there forever. And so often, people just love to keep their books. You know, you write a dedication inside, and I know that I have books that are, you know, very old from when I was young. And I can't part with those books.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And grandparents love to come in. I mean, they say, I love to promote reading. We're actually having a holiday book drive for Toys for Tots too, which people have been so generous in this area, because customers will say, do you want to donate a book? Yes. Yes. I want to promote literacy. So they buy like one for their grandchild and then one to donate. And again, we're up to hundreds of books for that. They come in every week right up until Christmas. They come in and collect, and there's like, they go home every week, well, to the Toys for Tots, like 6 boxes of books. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
It's been great. Yeah. And it's all kids books.
Oh, well, that's wonderful to know that you can touch the heart of a child with a wonderful book. it's so important, especially for kids who are, you know, in homes where they don't have a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. For them, it is just magical for them to be able to pick up a book and enter that world of, you know, that some author has created. So it's wonderful. Now, you have an event coming up on this weekend?
Saturday. We have our, every Saturday, just about, except for Christmas Eve, we have a story time for children. It's at 11 o'clock every Saturday, just so your listeners know. We also have it on Tuesday mornings, which a lot of people don't know about. That's at 10:30, but every Tuesday, there's a story time. So Saturdays, this Saturday, is Santa's Sleigh is on its way. So this whole month, we've had different holiday themed story times. We've already had the Polar Express. That was a huge hit, huge success. We had little hot chocolates for them. They were encouraged, the children, the families, to come in pajamas. And that's an annual event. We have certain ones that are annual story times. So Santa's Sleigh is Saturday at 11. And then we don't do anything Christmas Eve. But then the following week on New Year's Eve, we have a book called Happy New Year. So it's a New Year's book, but that'll be 11 o'clock on Saturday of December 31st.
Okay. And that sounds intriguing, huh? That's what is that about?
I don't know. I don't know. And then going into, just to give a look ahead for the January, we have Clifford will be the highlighted. We have two Clifford books on January 7th. Yeah, you know, generally when it's not a holiday, we have some classic books, sometimes some new bestsellers, you know, or popular ones that are current. But some are like the tried and true ones, like Clifford. What else is here? I'll Never Let You Go. That's at the end of the month, January 28th. January 14th, How Do Dinosaurs Choose Their Pets? And January 21st, Nanette's Baguette. And we always have a little coloring activity or something, not too big on Saturdays, but just enough, because really we get a lot of preschoolers, so we try to tailor it to the crowd that we get. But yeah, come on out on a Saturday morning. The parents get a cup of coffee, Starbucks in our cafe. And uh-huh. It's wonderful. And then the kids, you know, it's a great introduction. And we do get them young, too.
Well, that's important. The younger you get them. I know I started reading to my boys. They were born, I think, the first day or second day. They're already hearing my voice reading books, because I've always believed that it imbues something in their mind when they hear that, the voice and the, you know, when you... and you're reading to a kid and you animate your voice. Yes. To go with the story, and they get such a kick out of it.
Yeah.
And it's a lifelong memory that
right.
you're creating, and parents just have to embrace that, and absolutely, it's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's wonderful. We've also been selling a lot of the traditional Night Before Christmas, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, you know, all of those classic children's holiday favorites. So, and we also have Hanukkah books too, and we've had Hanukkah events in the store. So, you know, we've got everything for every denomination. We've got a wide variety, as you know, in Barnes & Noble. We're so much more than books these days too. We have a lot of promotions going on. Starting tomorrow, we have a vinyl promotion. You know, vinyl's very big these days. Records. So
yes, it's amazing how they're taking on a new life. And I'm happy that I have a whole bunch of them still. I don't know. I've been dragging them around for years. And
they're probably worth a lot of money,
yeah,
too, if you've got the originals.
Yeah, I do. I have some really great originals. And it's there was a time I remember years ago when some of the neighborhood boys thought it was very funny to make vinyls. They took them and used them like Frisbees. And as a matter of fact, my mother put her foot down and said, nobody's doing that to a record.
Oh, you know? That's good. That's good.
So it's nice to know that they're coming back. And and people are writing books about it and how to... the whole collection process.
Right, right. We also have promotions on our Nooks for people now who prefer to read on electronic devices. So we have all holiday specials going on there too. So many people though come in and say like they like both. They say, I want my Nook because I want that for convenience when I'm out at the beach, or me personally, I like laying in bed, shut off the lights, and you can read your book on the Nook right there laying in bed.
That's what I do, because like my husband will go to sleep.
Right.
I can still be reading at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I just love that ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then people say too, but I want the hard cover book. And I do too. I do. I love, love, love books, as I think a lot of us do who are in the book business, you know. So you want both, but this is a great time of year to upgrade. We've got the Samsung Galaxy Nooks and they're at a great price point.
The price of like this Nooks for $49.
Right.
I mean, that is amazing. Because I remember when the first electronic book came out, and of course I had to have it. As a matter of fact, I thought at the time, that was before I started the radio program, I said, well, you know, I can start weeding out some of my books because I've only got 4,000 or 5,000 books, and so I was jumped in and got the first ebook, and of course it was so expensive back then.
Right.
But to see it go down and down, and so now it's so accessible to everyone.
Right.
And there's no reason that you don't have one, really, so that you can read, and it is so convenient. But but on the same time, as you said, I love books, and of course now I get tons of books. I get, between 5 and 10 books a week from publishers. So it's a, now I have to like look for places and for people to give them to. So I'm always, looking for to share my books, because 10 books a week is a lot of books.
That's a lot of reading, but that's wonderful.
My mailman is very, I think I have to give him a nice big bonus this year, because he's carrying so much more just for me, I think, more than anybody in the building. So
that's so funny. And you mentioned your writer, who was just on, a local writer.
Katie Price. Yes. Fantastic girl.
It's just so interesting because reading and writing go so much together. And we're having a local author evening with TG Publishing, Eli Gonzalez, in January. I just want to talk about that for a minute.
Tell us about that. That's interesting.
Well, Barnes & Noble has Educator Week 4 or 5 times a year, where we give educators get a special discount card, because Barnes & Noble knows they spend a lot of their own money on their classrooms. So they get 20% discount when they're purchasing for their classroom year round. They come in with their card and, they get that discount 4 times a year. And then one day, shopping day in December, which was last weekend, they get 25% on not just professional but personal purchases. So whatever they want, they get 25% off. And we usually do a kickoff event. We usually have something special going on for them. So January 7th, Saturday, 11 to 1, I'll have complimentary coffee. We have raffles. I have tons of giveaway posters, different things for the teachers. 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, Eli Gonzalez is coming. He's a publisher and a local author too. And he's coming with 5 of his writers. And they have published books on all different topics. They were with me in September, they came. And it was wonderful. As he said to me, I'm going to fill this store. And he sure did. He's filled. We must have had 100 people in the, and it was actually bad weather. It was really bad weather.
I know. I was supposed to come. I was going to come up because I wanted to see it. And the weather was horrific. I mean, we had like nonstop rain, flooding of the streets.
Right.
Especially all around here.
Right.
The flooding was terrible. And I said, I'm just not going to do it. But
it was packed still. People came out in the rain, and we sold so many books. And mostly, aside from selling the books, they talk. The authors tell their story, how they wrote the book, why they wrote it. It's usually something really personal to them. We had one woman who was actually had a background. She was a victim of domestic violence, and she wrote a self-help empowering book. We had tears in our eyes, and she was just telling us how she came to write the book. The book itself is phenomenal, but it was captivating. We were supposed to have a Holocaust survivor come, and unfortunately she was hospitalized, the author. This woman's story is just incredible. Eli told most of the story. Her sons were there, and people were coming to meet her sons. And but Eli told her story, and again, we all had tears in our eyes. We were like, my coworkers, my booksellers were like, I got to get a copy of that book. I got to buy that book. And I was like, okay, we'll put one aside for you. Don't worry. But yeah, so we had four different people, and he said he's bringing five new authors. So that's January 7th, 1 to 3 o'clock.
And the entire week is the Educators Week.
Absolutely. January 7th through 15th, they can come in. And
I remember when I was a homeschool mom, you also certified homeschool moms, because we are educated, believe me. We are educators. Oh.
I wish more homeschool parents would come. And when I meet them, just to throw this out, if there's any homeschool parents out there, please come and get a card, and also ask for me, Karen Ann Ditson. I'd love to know what kind of programs they would like, because we can do on these special event days, I can tailor a program, you know, because I, you know, something beneficial maybe for that demographic. I'd love to get more. I know they work very hard, homeschool moms and dads.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yes, and they do have, we all, almost all belong to the Homeschool Association.
Right.
And as I said, I homeschooled for 15 years, and it was wonderful when I would come to Barnes & Noble and get this discount on books, because we went through so many books.
Right. I mean, I can imagine.
That's, I think, even much more so than, you know, public school children. Homeschool children are the best read. I mean, they read all the time. And it's wonderful, because they generally, you know, because they're homeschooled, we start them reading very early.
They're
good readers. And they're reading, you know, at a higher level than other kids. And so it's lots of fun for them, but they go through a lot of books.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. No, come in and sign up. You don't need me to sign up, but if you want to talk to me, if I'm available, I'd love to meet with any teacher, any homeschool, you know, public school teacher. But you can just go up to the cash register, bring an ID. But homeschool parents, I know it's hard to have an ID.
No, we almost all belong to an association.
Yeah, that's helpful.
It's the best thing. And I advise it for any homeschool parent, belong to the association, because they help you with so much.
Right.
And you get this little ID card so that you can do stuff like this and get the discounts where they do give discounts to educators, because...
Right.
Certainly.
And we have wonderful giveaways. You know, the company sends us, different publishing companies sent, like Scholastic and all the different ones send us, not just posters, but curriculum guides, giveaways, bookmarks. It's just fun stuff that teachers can use, you know, and they could use it either as incentives for their kids, their students, or they can put up the posters in their classroom, or for homeschoolers, they can just take them, you know?
And I know you're right. So many teachers, all of the good teachers I know, and I as a matter of fact, it's funny, one of the young people at your event for Harry Potter, she was a little girl, but now she's a teacher, her first year as a teacher, and I know she's already facing that thing that, well, I want to give my students a little bit more. I want to do a little bit more. And so she's already discovering that, I'll buy this. I'll buy that. I'll get this. I'll get these extra, you know, whether it's, you know, art supplies or books. They do that. And it's just wonderful that Barnes & Noble is so supportive. I think that's just a fantastic thing.
Well, you just reminded me, and I should give a shout out. I had two teachers, one Vanessa Ramos from Garrison Jones and Nicole Howell from St. Paul's School. They volunteered their time to come. They're huge Harry Potter fans. And to them, it's a privilege, or, you know, they just think it's fun to spend a Friday night, like, helping us do this great event. But they're in their classrooms, though, they're incorporating Harry Potter and the reading, and it's just wonderful. And Nicole, I didn't even know was coming. It's so funny. She heard word of mouth. She showed up, and we were just looking for somebody to fill this slot doing ornaments. And she came up and she said, "Do you still need volunteers? I'm so and so." And I said, "Yes, yes.
Well, that's a teacher for you. They're always ready to get in there and help, especially at wonderful events that you have at Barnes & Noble. So Karen Didzen, if you go there to the store, introduce yourself, and Karen will always tell you what's going on and what's happening. What's your official title at the store?
I am the Community Business Development Manager, formerly known as Community Relations Manager. So that's I work with the community, and I love meeting, you know, people out there on the floor, and I'm more visible. As for Karen Ann, though, because I should say there are two Karens. There's our store manager. We're both Karen D's. We're both managers. So I took on my middle name. So Karen I am Karen Ann.
Didzen.
Yes.
And I won't mispronounce it again. And I want to thank you so much, Karen,
for coming in.
And you'll come in at the end of January to tell us about the February events, okay?
Awesome. Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, Merry Christmas to you. And we'll see you again in January.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Okay, well, that was fun. And Big Ed in the control room. Okay. Hey, Big Ed, tell me something. Do you like tomatoes?
Always.
Yeah?
Well, they're being thrown at me.
I want to know if you like tomatoes.
Yes.
And you buy tomatoes? Have you ever bought a tomato?
I bought many tomatoes.
Okay. Now, I want you to tell me something, Ed. I bought a tomato the Tuesday before Thanksgiving because I said to myself, okay, I'm going to make a healthy salad to go for Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I do that every year. I say, okay, I'm going to have a nice salad. Of course, I never actually make it because by the time I finish with all the fixings, two different kinds of cornbreads, four different types of pies, cakes, brownies, cookies, biscotti, I actually usually forget about the salad.
And then nobody eats the salad anyway.
And that's right. So anyway, but I bought on Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I bought this big, beautiful red tomato, gorgeous tomato. And I thought that's going to look really good. And at the same time, I had already three little tomatoes, but they weren't so pretty. And those I had gotten at the farmer's market, but I got this one big red one because I thought, oh, how pretty that's going to look. Well, tell me something, Ed. What do you think about this tomato? It still looks big and juicy and pretty.
I'm amazed because mine only lasts about 3 or 4 days before they go bad.
I know. Now, I bought this at a big, big grocery store, and I am looking every day now. I'm walking past this tomato, and I'm like getting a little bit crazy. What is this thing I have there on my kitchen counter? For the first week, I thought, well, it's okay, you know, I'll use it up. But we ate leftovers, and I made so much leftovers. We had so much stuffing. I always make a big extra big container of stuffing, and I had gravy, and as a matter of fact, I even made an extra turkey breast because I wanted to have a lot of leftovers, and my son took a lot back when he went back to a university, but I still had a lot, so I kept putting off making that salad. I said, okay, I'll make it, and then after about, over a week, I said, well, I should make that salad now. We need some healthy stuff because, by the way, my next guest is going to be talking about his book called The Mayo Clinic Diet. So I'm thinking I should make this. And I look at this thing and I touch it and it's still nice and firm and juicy and red. And now this is a week, then 10 days. And now we're into December. And I don't know, what do you think is in that tomato? Do you think it's like a tomato from another world?
Steroids?
I don't know. I mean, it's scary. I'm almost like, what is in this tomato? And I'm like, should I just leave it there? Or is it going to like burst open? And there's going to be all sorts of, you know, we had this lovely guest on the other day, Katie Price, and she has some, you know, strange things happening in her book. And one of the things she has is somebody who specializes in, growing vegetables and fruits, and And I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe this is like some weird alien tomato. What do you think?
I don't know. Unless you got it, usually they last that long if you get them in their green stage.
No,
and then
it
they
was
turn.
Beautiful. It was like perfect, ready for Thanksgiving. And I'm just wondering what they are doing to our tomato. So much so that now I'm looking for an author who has written a book on how to grow your own tomatoes. Because I need to grow my own tomatoes somehow. This is too scary. But meanwhile, I'm just going to buy my tomatoes at the farmer's market because I'm not going to buy any more grocery store tomatoes for a while until I figure out what's going to happen to this tomato. But it looks beautiful. And I thought maybe it's a plastic one, but it's not. It's real. It's just a little softer today. So I'm just going to keep an eye on that tomato. What do you think?
Keep an eye on it in case something crawls out of it.
That's what I'm wondering. So as a matter of fact, I was going to bring it over here and maybe
don't bring it here.
You don't want to keep an eye on it. Well, we are waiting for a call in from Dr. Donald Hensrud, who has written the Mayo Clinic Diet. He's going to be talking to us about the benefits of fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, and I'm excited about that. But meanwhile, I want to talk about a few things. Absolutely fantastic today, because I'm a little bit bubbly. At 5 o'clock today, we have at the Miami Avenue Wine Bar Music and Arts in Indian Rocks Beach, we have a wine tasting event. And this is fantastic. It's going to be sparkling wines. And so anybody who wants to come out today at 5 o'clock, it's from 5 to 7, and it is fantastic. It's just $12 per person. And you get you get glass after glass of wine. Last time, I think I must have had 8 glasses of wine. And they weren't full glasses. Thank goodness I would never have been able to drive. But and also some good nibbles to go along with your wine. And so I hope to see some of you out there at 5 o'clock today at Miami Avenue. It's 311 First Street in Indian Rocks Beach. Right there, just a block south of the post office. And I think anyone who is in a bubbly mood today should come and join us for all the sparkling wines and getting some ideas. And I think we are now just getting connected, and I'm going to let's play a little bumper music and just, do you wanna? Okay. Okay, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my next guest, Dr. Donald Hensrud. Hi.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, well, this is a perfect time for you to come out with this great book, The Mayo Clinic Diet, second edition. It's a beautiful book, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. And, of course, everybody, I was just talking about Thanksgiving, where I made so much food that people are still eating it. wow, this is a, of course, we've heard about the Mayo Clinic diet, and so now you can explain to us about it. And also, I like that big, you have right on the top, designed to help you lose up to 6 to 10 pounds in 2 weeks. So...
Yeah, the Mayo Clinic diet, it's actually more than a diet. We use that term because that's how people search for information about weight management. But the Mayo Clinic diet is actually a long-term lifestyle change where we help people make changes in their diet and their physical activity to help them lose weight and, more importantly, keep it off. It's divided into two phases, the lose-it phase, that's the quick jumpstart phase, and the live-it phase. In the lose-it phase, what we do, we recommend that people change a lot of habits all at once. We throw the kitchen sink at people, and if they do that for 2 weeks, they can expect to lose 6 to 10 pounds. But it's safe weight loss. None of these things are unsafe. In the live-it phase, they take those habits, they change, they've experienced some weight loss, and they're motivated, and they turn those habits into a long-term lifestyle program where they can not only lose weight, but they can improve their health, and most importantly, they can feel better about it.
Okay, so let's talk about that lose-it stage. What do we do?
In the lose-it phase, we ask people to add 5 habits, break 5 habits, and there are 5 bonus habits that they can adopt. For example, in terms of adding five habits, there's nothing complex. It's eat more fruits and vegetables, because people who eat more fruits and vegetables tend to weigh less and have better outcome at weight management. We ask people to eat healthy fats and healthy whole grains. In the break five habits, the most challenging one for people is no eating while watching TV, and you can only watch as much TV as the amount of time you spend exercising. And the reason for that is obvious, that we tend to mindlessly munch sometimes while we're watching TV. And we're not telling people not to watch TV, but be active before, during, or after if you're going to do that. Other habits are to write down everything you eat, because tracking has been associated with increased weight management. So putting all this together, a lot of little things adds up to that weight loss of 6 to 10 pounds over 2 weeks.
Well, that idea of watching TV as much as you exercise, that's going to be a hard one for people to do.
It is, but we're not telling it. We're leaving it up to people. We're putting them with the responsibility. If they want to manage weight, that's something that they may have to change. And you don't have to go crazy on this. We're just getting people to gently change their habits. You know, most people underestimate their ability to change. An example I use is milk. Years ago, everybody drank whole milk, and when people try and change to skim or 2%, they often say, oh, that tastes like water. But then they make the change that becomes part of their routine, and then whole milk tastes like cream. So people can change more than they realize often.
And, you know, of course, the idea is of eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. On the fruit side, they can get pretty heavy in calories, though.
You know, they really don't. There's a common perception because of the sugar in fruit. But if you think about it, it's not added sugar. There's a lot of water, a lot of fiber, a lot of nutrients in fruit. And there's only about 60 calories in a small to medium piece of fruit. For example, there's about 275 calories in a candy bar. So you could eat four small pieces of fruit for that one candy bar. So there really isn't that many calories, less than what people think in fruit.
So generally speaking, the idea is to stay away from sugar as much as possible.
Stay away from added sugars. That's exactly right. And that's one of our break five habits, is no sugar except what's found naturally in fruits and other foods. Because added sugars have increased in this country and have contributed to increased calorie intake and increased weight gain.
Oh, that's for sure. It is a major problem, the overweight nature of our society at this time.
It is. You know, and 2/3 of the population is overweight or obese. And when that happens in that many people, it isn't that they decided or wanted to gain weight. There's powerful forces that have changed our diet and activity habits. So it does require a change in habits, a change in plan to counteract that. But a lot of it doesn't have to be restrictive or negative. It's planning to get a little activity, watching portion size of high-calorie foods, and eating generous amounts of plant foods on the Mayo Clinic Healthy Weight Pyramid. We have other things that we can help people with. Everybody has challenges. The challenges may differ among individuals. We have an action guide, where we list challenges in diet and activity, and we give people strategies on what to do, how to overcome those challenges. We have 4 weeks of menus to give people ideas, and we've included some all-new recipes of foods that you can eat without guilt, and they taste great.
Well, the book is beautiful, and with the lovely photography, and it's very easy to follow the the guides. I think one of the things, you have some places there where people can fill in, you know, and keep track of their eating. And I think it's very helpful where you talk about the serving sizes, because it is sometimes really outrageous when you go to a restaurant and there's so much food on the plate.
You're exactly right. And we give people, as you mentioned, there are symbols, icons, to estimate serving size. I've been to restaurants, and you have too, where what they serve could serve a family of four. So we teach people how to estimate serving size. We're their partner in their weight loss journey. And you know, it all starts out with attitude. And we try and help people with a positive attitude on how to approach this. Many people say, when I was more active, when I weighed less, I felt better. And they should listen to that. And if they approach it in the right manner, leading a healthy lifestyle can be an enjoyable experience.
And, you know, when one of the things I did in my own home was that I did get smaller plates. I had very nice size, big dinner plates. And a few years ago, I said, well, those are really big. And you do tend to put as much food, you know, to fill the plate. So I switched over and I got, you know, one size down dinner plates. And I think it's made a big difference.
Patsy, that's a very good idea. And there was a study, a number of studies that showed that if our plate is bigger, we tend to eat more. So that's one really good strategy that you can use to decrease the portion size. And there are a lot of other things, too, and I'll bet you don't even notice it since you've done that.
No, exactly. And I don't think my husband's noticed it because his plate looks very full now. But it's a smaller plate.
That's great.
So it's a little bit of a trick there. But one of the things that I know a lot of people lately have been, of course, there's the gluten-free aspect, but I noticed quite a few people who have become vegetarian or vegans, but they did it so, some of them did it because they thought they would lose weight, but they didn't actually lose weight from a diet that sort of eliminated meats and fish.
Yeah, in general, a vegetarian diet can be healthy and people can lose weight. The Mayo Clinic diet can be adjusted. So if people are following a vegetarian diet, they can adjust it toward that. If they're following a gluten-free diet, if they have celiac disease, for example, they can adjust it toward that. It's very important to customize this, and we allow that flexibility. So it isn't one size fits all. We all have different goals, different challenges. And we have to adapt what we're doing toward our own preferences. And we allow that on the Mayo Clinic diet. We recommend it.
Well, part of the, I think one of the problems of some of the vegetarians that I've met, they have substituted pasta, a lot of pasta, for meat. And that doesn't exactly work.
You know, we've gone through different phases over the years. You probably remember when everything was low fat and you could eat all the carbs and pasta you wanted. Then we changed to a high fat, low carb, and you could eat all the fat you wanted. And nowadays, gluten is the bad guy. Gluten's a protein. So what we recommend is more of a moderate approach. Try and eat healthy carbs. Eliminate some of the less healthy carbs, such as sugar and refined flour. Eat healthy fats, such as olive oil, nuts, avocados, and try and avoid some of the less healthy fats. And if you do that, you're getting the best of the health, and you're not having to go to extremes, as you mentioned, with all the pasta.
Yeah, that puts on the weight. Now, when you're talking about flour, I know that coming from northern Michigan, we used in our a lot of our breads, we used different types of grain. We used rye and barley, and we had a very our breads were very rich and thick, you know, almost well, very different from the white loaf type of bread. So it's, I think it's important to try to cut down on the white flour.
Oh, I completely agree. And you mentioned different grains that can make it taste better. Sometimes people put a little bit of seeds in there or even nuts in some bread. But the more variety you have in your diet, whether it be grains or vegetables or fruits, the more different nutrients you get. And I think the better it tastes, too.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things is, you know, when you're eating in restaurants, it is deceptive, though. They will say, you know, we're giving you a sandwich on whole grain bread, but that sandwich is unbelievable in calories.
Yes. When eating out is one of the things that has been associated with increased calorie intake, because they want to make it taste good, and we're not in control of how it's prepared. They may prepare it with very rich sauces. So you really have to be careful about portion size when eating out. There are other things. Soda, for example, has a lot of calories in it. 150 calories in an average can of soda or so. So you have to watch portion size of some foods. As I mentioned, we emphasize real food, and if you do that with plant foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, you can still get a lot to eat but get in less calories. For example, there's the same amount of calories in 1 1/3 sticks of butter, a very small amount of food, as in 10 or 11 heads of lettuce or 35 cups of green beans. Now, no one is going to eat that, but that just shows if you're eating more vegetables and fruits, you can get a lot to eat but not get a lot of calories.
Well, I could eat 35 cups of green beans. I have a crazy... crazy passion for green beans. My family can't understand it. I can just eat them all day long. I just love green beans for some strange reason.
Good for you. Good stuff.
And I love tomatoes. But I was telling my guy in the control room a little earlier that it is important, though, that when you buy vegetables, if you can, to buy them at a farmer's market where you get really top quality vegetables and with good taste and not too many hormones and whatever they put in vegetables to keep them going for so long.
That's a great idea. I'm a strong supporter of farmers markets. We have one locally in my town, and you're right. It supports the local economy. They're often organic. They taste better, and they're full of nutrients.
Absolutely. Now, what is your background in how did you get involved in nutrition?
I've been interested in it for a long time. It just made sense to me when I was younger. I went through medical school. I'm an internist and have trained in nutrition. And as I've gone on, the medical studies have come out to support some of those initial assumptions. So eating well, being active, can make a huge difference in long-term health.
Well, this book that you guys have put together is really one of the best diet books I've ever seen, because it's the kind of book that you lay out very clearly the portion sizes and make all of that very understandable, because people do tend to, as I said, you go to a restaurant and the plates are so enormous, or you go to some of these very popular stores where they do sandwiches, and it's deceptive because the sandwiches are big, really way too big for, I know my husband and I would never buy each of us a sandwich anymore. I mean, that those years are gone that we'd ever even try to put away, each of us a whole sandwich because they're so big that you don't need that much.
That's right. And that's what we try and do, is help educate people on portion size of high calorie foods, and then emphasize the lower-calorie foods that are still very helpful. Managing weight and eating well are not mutually exclusive. And losing weight doesn't have to be drudgery. The lifestyle that leads to a healthy weight can and should be an enjoyable way to live.
And how much were you involved in doing this book, selecting the photos and selecting the layout? Because it's beautifully done.
Yes, it's a team effort, but yes, I was the editor of the book, but we had a lot of people working on it. And people can get the book in all the bookstores. It's available online. People can go to our website, mayoclinic.org. And if people want to take this to the next level, they can come to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and enroll in the Mayo Clinic Diet Experience, which is an immersive experience in our Healthy Living program.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know about that. That's nice.
Yeah. I
don't know. How's the weather up there in Minnesota right now?
It's pretty cold this time of year.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of snow.
And we can immerse ourselves right into some nice warm room there and learn how to eat properly. So what does a program like that entail? How long do you stay there?
Well, we have them start the Mayo Clinic diet even before they come. They do the lose it phase, so they're already engaged in the program and they have questions and they're already losing a little bit of weight. They spend a couple of days on site. It's very busy days. We teach them more. We have them, if they start their activity program, we give them individual advice. We have a spa there that's one of the cleanest spas in the state because we had to meet hospital standards for cleanliness. And after people leave the program, they work with wellness coaches on site, And our wellness coaches stay in touch with them for a full year because we know it's hard to lose weight, but it's even harder to keep it off. And with our wellness coaches, people design their own plan, and they stay in touch with our wellness coach, and they're able to keep that weight off and lose more if they want.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I didn't know about that program, and I think that's a wonderful. And there are so many people who are really in that area where they're like 100 pounds overweight, which is, you know, very, very difficult to get off by yourself.
It is. It's challenging, and we can be people's partner both through our book, through our online program, or on site at the Mayo Clinic.
Absolutely wonderful. This is great. I highly recommend this book. I think it's a wonderful book to get at this time of the year for people because it does sort of put all of this in perspective before you start heading to all those holiday parties and before you make your New Year's resolution, which you probably won't keep unless you have something like this right at your fingertips. Because I think it is inspiring when you go through and I love the recipe selections. The section is there. It really makes it all appetizing. And I think the type of thing where you see these photographs and you say, well, I can do that. I could. This looks like something that I can eat and that I can enjoy. And because people do want to enjoy their food, and it's important that they get inspired like this. So I think you've done a beautiful job on this book.
Thank you very much. We wanted to keep it simple and straightforward and positive. If you notice, there's many positive self-talk information in there because when people undertake weight loss, oftentimes they beat themselves up. They try and restrict something. They eat too much. They feel guilty. And we want to take that away. People should be kind to themselves first, and that can make it a lot easier to improve their health and manage their weight.
Well, exactly. I that's one of the things I got immediately when I got the book and I saw it is that positive reinforcement, the positive aspect of, yes, you can do it. And it's not as difficult as you imagine. It just, you know, pay attention and follow along because you've done a beautiful job with this book.
Thank you very much, Patsy. And you really understand the whole concept very well.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me, and I hope a lot of people will put this right there on their, you say gift giving. I'm not sure if people want to give this as a gift, but it's, you know, because it's like, okay, somebody's saying something bad about me. But on the other hand, it is a good book to have, to buy for yourself and then happen to have it right there for everybody who visits you to read because it is an inspiring book. And I think you've done just a beautiful job. And, well, of course, Mayo Clinic is a wonderful place and all of you do so much to help everybody. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Patsy, and you have happy holidays.
Okay, same to you, and keep warm up there. Wow, you guys are really getting some cold weather. You know, coming from northern Michigan, it is hot, and my son is now at U of W in Madison, and it's, you know, being from Florida, he had never even heard of -2 degrees. And so he's telling me it's going to be -2. I said, oh, that's nice. And he said, -2? What does -2 feel like? I said, oh, you're going to experience it. And he said, how long does winter last? I said, you've got something to look forward to. This is his first year. He just went up there. And so it's an interesting experience for somebody who comes from Florida, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, keep warm, and thank you so much for coming out with this wonderful book.
Thank you, Patsy.
Okay. Bye bye now.
Bye.
Wow, it is a beautiful book. As I said, you probably wouldn't give it as a gift unless you want to be, you know, somebody to hit you over the head with it. And it's a hefty book. It's big, beautifully done book. The paper, it's, you know, this nice thick paper, and the photography is gorgeous, really gorgeous. And it's the kind of book that you will really enjoy having. And as I said, you know, it is inspiring. And the people at Mayo Clinic know what they're talking about. I think they've had all these many, many years of experience, and I don't know. I think it's a nice book, and I would buy it just for myself if I didn't have to buy it. But I already got it. I'm so lucky. But you can get it, and you could get it at Barnes & Noble over there in Clearwater. And I want to thank Karen Didzen for coming in today, because she was just wonderful. And do go. If you go to the store, introduce yourself and tell her that you heard her here on Joy on Paper, and talk to her, and she will always have recommendations. And she always has little things that she can give you, little gifts. So it's wonderful to be able to meet her and talk to her. And she will tell you about the latest bestsellers and things that are going on in the store. And meanwhile, I want to tell you again about Miami Avenue today at 5 o'clock. We're going to be in a bubbly mood with a little bit of wine tasting. And then I want to recommend a few more books for Christmas or Hanukkah. And one of them I want to recommend is James McGee's 100 Memorable Movie Plots and Dialogues. This is a fun, fun book. If you are involved in trivia at all, or you just want something quick to read every once in a while, he's done a beautiful job. And he's got the movie's title, the director, the release date, and the actors. And then he has some of the plots and dialogue. And it's really, really cute, and it's perfect for anybody who loves trivia. As a matter of fact, James McGee has written, I think, 35 books now, and so many of them are ideal for people who just like to read about history. He has Motown. He has 17th century history. He has American history. He has all sorts of wonderful trivia books. And it's James McGee, M-A-G-E-E. His books are available at Amazon, and I highly recommend his books. Just fun little reads, and books that you can share with your friends. And if you have any teenager or university age kids, and you don't know what to get them, I suggest you get them one of James' books, because they are just so much fun for anybody who does this trivia game. Most of these colleges have trivia nights, two or three nights a week, where the kids get together and do trivia. So it's lots of fun. And meanwhile, coming up on Monday, I'm going to have the Writers Legal Eagle. Bill Larson is going to be in. And if you have any questions, send them to me.
Tuesday.
What did I say?
You said coming on Monday.
Oh, well, maybe. I don't know. He's coming on Tuesday. I was going to come in on Monday. Who knows? It's that tomato. I think that tomato is making me crazy. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe the tomato is going to come in on Monday. If so, I'll bring it in. Anyway, so Tuesday for Bill Larson. And meanwhile, remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So take time this weekend to start writing. And if not, at least read a good book. And remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. And go to my archive page at www.radio-joyonpaper.com and listen to some of the interviews I've had with all sorts of fantastic authors and literary agents. So this is Patsy with a Z saying bye-bye. And I'm going to bring in that tomato for Big Ed, and he's going to see what's inside that thing. Okay, bye.